7:30, time once again for Community Forum, and we're very lucky to have with us live in the studios this morning Christopher Kane, who's with the Port Observer, Aaron Simmons, who is with Oceana, and Randy Zerker, who is with the Blue Water Network. And they're all here to talk about the cruise ship industry and the Port of Seattle's role in that. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Let me start out and ask you, throw it open to anyone that wants to field this. Can you give us a kind of a brief overview history of the cruise ship industry?
Well, really what it comes down to is that most people don't know. When they go on a cruise, it's beautiful. It's portrayed as this gorgeous, get out into nature, enjoy the ocean type of an experience. And what it really is and what it really comes down to is that cruise ships are a huge pollution problem. They're a huge environmental problem. And most people don't know when they go on board of a ship. The average cruise ship is a floating city, and it generates the pollution and the trash and the sewage that the average city also produces. But the thing is, with your average size city in the United States, they're under the auspices of the Clean Water Act. A cruise ship isn't. A cruise ship is foreign flagged. It travels from port to port. It doesn't have to meet the same requirements. And these requirements really need to be enforced on the cruise ships. For example, the average cruise ship on the average day, one single day, generates 30,000 gallons of sewage. That is, city could get away without treating this, without doing anything. What the ships do, and what most people don't think of, they go on a ship, they flush their toilet, they don't think of where it goes. And that's the other thing, is that 255,000 gallons of gray water, which comes from your toilet, from your showers, from your sinks. But then on a cruise ship, too, it comes from the other things that are occurring on board. The photoprocessing lab, the spa, that counts as gray water. The galleys, I mean, where all the water, where all the food is cooked, everything. Hosing down the decks, I mean, all of it. All of that goes straight down. And no one really thinks about all of these problems when they do get onto a cruise ship.
Well, I can tell you as a photographer that photo processing is extremely toxic. Aaron, tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about Oceana real quick.
Oceana is an international ocean advocate organization. We deal mainly with three major campaigns, one of them being cruise ship pollution. Our other two campaigns deal with destructive fishing practices, bycatch and bottom trawling. So third of our efforts internationally, and that's what we really try to focus on, is the international approach to ocean protection.
All right. And Randy, if you could tell us about the Blue Water Network.
Blue Water Network is a national environmental advocacy organization. We're headquartered in San Francisco. We work on clean water and clean air issues. And, you know, one thing I wanted to touch on that Aaron didn't talk about too much. She talked about the water pollution, but there's also enormous air pollution that come from these behemoths. These cruise ships, to power, you know, both to move the ship forward and to run the electricity on their ship, they burn what is really a byproduct of the process of making diesel. They burn bunker fuel. And this fuel is, well, just to give you an idea, it's so thick, they have to actually heat it up to get it to go through the pipes to the engine. It's kind of a sludgy, nasty stuff. It's got a very high sulfur content. So what that means is, when you see one of these cruise ships in your neighborhood down at the port just sitting there, it's belching smoke that whole time to keep their lights on. This is a floating hotel, so they have a lot of electricity needs. You know, the whole time they're sitting there, this air, or, you know, these emissions are polluting the city. It's equal to over 12,000 cars just sitting there with their engines idling. So, you know, so there's awful water pollution, and there's really awful air pollution. And, you know, we'd like to do something about it.
And I take it the air pollution problem of these isn't regulated as well, of the cruise ships?
That's right. No regulation.
Mm. Chris, tell us briefly about the Port Observer.
Well, the Port Observer has come about in large part to my own efforts to try and bring awareness to the community, just to exactly what the Port of Seattle is up to, and as we like to say, to pierce the veil of secrecy that has surrounded the Port of Seattle for many years, and lay bare the decisions and actions that would most likely fail public and legal scrutiny. And so we've created a platform in which people who have been involved with Port of Seattle issues and have educated themselves on these issues, and laymen really who have become experts in their field of concern, as in issues like air pollution, water pollution, social and economic injustice, solely due to the Port of Seattle's actions. So we've launched this and tried to provide a community platform for people.
All right, and you all happen to be, with the exception of Chris, who lives in town here, all happen to be in Seattle today because there is a big event going on downtown, mm-hmm. and you have an event tied to that as well.
Right. Well, the event that's occurring is the grand opening of the brand new Terminal 30 cruise ship facility that was paid for by King County taxes. And, you know, what a great thing to be able to stimulate the economy and, you know, provide a place. You know, I really hope and wish that everybody could go on an environmentally responsible cruise ship someday and take advantage of the beautiful sights and scenery that these ships provide. Contrary, though, to the excitement that's brewing around the new terminal, there is, in fact, a reality that people need to look at. And cruise ships, really, they're designed, and the whole industry is designed to take you away. And you see the commercials on TV, and there's a gleam in the eye and a sparkle on the water and an orca jumping in the background. And that's great, and it's wonderful. I hope everybody has an opportunity to relax like that. But we can't lose sight of the reality that there is a huge problem here. And it's important to take a step back and look at the history and the record of the cruise industry. Every single ship that comes in to our harbor this year, there'll be over 100 of them, are owned and operated by three major cruise lines, all of which have felony records as long as the thick black streak of smoke they leave behind them. They've been convicted, they've been fined, they've been found to lie to just about every public, federal, state, and local agency that they come in contact with. So even when we do have an opportunity to hold them accountable, we don't know if they're lying or not. And they have a horrible record of environmental crimes, quite frankly. And as the opening approaches today, this afternoon, of this new facility, people need to keep in mind that the Port of Seattle raised and collected taxes without asking the public. They have that authority granted to them by the state legislature. And they use that tax money to build this new facility in record time to bring this industry here. And that's what we need to look at, is what avenue do people now have to hold this industry accountable if their tax money is being used without their consent to subsidize it? And that's a real problem. There is no avenue for them to demand accountability from this industry now that it's here, other than to, well, come down to Terminal 30 today at noon and help us raise public awareness about this problem that we have here, so that we can all deal with it in a sensible way that the Port Commission has, quite frankly, failed to do.
And I would like to add something here, that this is not just a local occurrence. This is happening all over the country, where public monies are being used to build this infrastructure for cruise ship companies that do not pay federal or state taxes. They sail under foreign flags. They don't follow our labor laws. They're not accountable, and they can't be trusted. The recent Puget Sound dumping, 16,000 gallons of raw sewage by the Norwegian Sun, it's not an isolated occurrence. It's a symptom of a national cruise ship pollution crisis, and that's kind of what we're we're here today to say the major cruise lines, they want to say that their voluntary agreements are going to protect our waters. And unfortunately, voluntary agreements aren't worth the paper they're printed on. The Crystal Harmony cruise ship, as you might know, recently reported several months after the fact that they broke their promise to the city of Monterey not to dump wastewater there in the National Marine Sanctuary. Now, that city has banned the ship from coming back, ever. You know, maybe the Port of Seattle should ban the Norwegian Sun and other ships that dump sewage in the Puget Sound. You know, with that kind of policy in place, it's guaranteed that the ships would either shape up or ship out.
I'd want to add to that, Randy, too, is that the city of Monterey stepped up and went above and beyond just banning the Crystal Harmony for life. Crystal Harmony can never come back to Monterey, but banning Crystal cruise lines for 15 years from coming to the city. And cities and the average person don't realize that they have that power. And that's one of the things, too, that we really want to focus on today is that not only bringing public attention to this, but bringing the passengers' attention to the fact that they do have choices, that this is what's going on, that they can research their cruise lines, they can find out things like the Norwegian Sun dumps over 16,000 gallons of raw sewage just off here, you know, in the Strait of Juan de Fuca, and that, you know, they can find out those things. They can go online. They can go to any of our websites, to Blue Water's website, to our website, which is stopcruisepollution.org, and find out about the felonies that these ships have had and start putting that pressure and sending in the letters and writing them. I mean, Blue Water has an excellent campaign promoting sending in postcards to the president of Carnival Cruises because he needs to step up and he needs to regulate his own industry. And the technology is there. The cost is minimal. For the price of one can of Coke per day per passenger, at least for sewage, they could upgrade the entire fleet in 5 years. So our question is, why not?
Exactly. And, you know, one thing I would add to that is, you know, it might be up to the people of Seattle to really step up to this issue. This is the only port city in the state of Washington. As Aaron mentioned, Blue Water Network is supporting, you know, what we realize is we could either trust felons to protect our state waters, or we could take action ourselves. And so we decided to take action. We have three bills in the state assembly now in California, and if they are passed, they will prohibit the discharge of sewage sludge, gray water, oily bilge water, ballast water, and hazardous waste into state waters, and petition the federal government to apply the same rule to national marine sanctuaries. Not only that, but they would also ban the burning of garbage, and they would require the use of cleaner burning fuel when in state waters. And this is the big one for people who live in a port city, require the ships to plug into shoreside power while they're at port instead of belching this nasty black smoke that is known to carry carcinogens. Why not just plug into the grid? And I'll tell you why not. It takes a little bit of an investment from the start for the infrastructure to actually plug in. Not much. If the cruise lines really cared about it, they would do it. And, you know, a lot of times it's up to an industry to kind of regulate themselves. It's up to their customers to make sure they do. This hasn't been happening. So really, you know, unfortunately, the citizens are the ones that are suffering, not just the customers. And so the citizens are probably going to have to stand up and let their state legislators know, you know, we need these kind of regulations.
And I'd want to add to that, too, The citizens need to step up, and also the passengers, too. And Oceana conducted an extensive polling of cruise ship passengers, and they want these upgrades. They want to know. 72% of cruise ship passengers don't want any sewage dumping anywhere, whether, you know, just right off the coast or out into the ocean. And not that we think that they should be, but 60% of the passengers are willing to pay more to know that they're going on a cleaner cruise. So the financial argument just isn't there for the cruise industry. And they need to turn around and they need to not just be grubbing for the money, and they need to listen to the passengers, and they need to have respect for these pristine places that they're going to, or they're not going to have these beautiful, pristine places to go to anymore.
I remember being shocked when we had you on the show previously, Chris, about in addition to not having an electrical hookup for these ships when they're in port, Port of Seattle doesn't have a sewage hookup for them.
Yeah, well, that's true. And what I'd like to say about that is going back to the Norwegian Sun, the very first cruise ship to berth here in our pristine harbor, the very first ship of the season, sat at the dock all day, fully loaded with black water, sewage, and all the stuff that is generated that we've talked about earlier, while, you know, the passengers got off the ship and they went down to Pioneer Square and they went to Pike Place Market and they went to the Seattle Art Museum and they spent their money and that brought revenue here. And that's great. And I'm glad they could come here and have a nice time and enjoy our city with us. But that ship sat at the dock fully loaded and then left and left a 25-mile-long streak of black water in our state's waters, and had the Seattle Port Commission, the Port of Seattle, put in the proper facilities, which amounts to really nothing more than a 12-inch pipe at the end of the pier, for the ship to responsibly and be a responsible corporate citizen and do what is right and dump into the sewer like it should be and have it treated at our facilities that we've paid for. And you know, I'd remind everybody here, look at your sewer bill. Every single person in King County pays sewer charge. Every business pays a sewer charge. If you want to build a new house, you have to hook up to the sewer. Any business on land would have to pay for that. Why doesn't this industry have to? Who is exempting them? You know, where are our elected officials? They're in fact complicit with this industry, and they are, you know, aiding and abetting these people to do what they do. They could have, you know, it's the Washington State ferries just down the street. Every single day, you know, 20 times a day, does what's right. They do what's the responsible thing, and they pump it into a sewer. There's no reason why it isn't there, except that we have irresponsible elected officials who don't care about our environment.
Right, and I would jump in there and just encourage your listeners, you know, call and write your state legislators and let them know, you know, Washington State has the ability and the responsibility to pass this legislation. There is no reason why this industry should be unregulated. I get a lot of arguments, well, their economic, you know, all the economic growth that they bring, all this stuff, and you know what, it's really not there for what they're taking away. You know, besides just the water pollution and the air pollution and the people pollution, a lot of these places that they go to are very small places, and they're dumping 2,000 and 3,000 people, you know, all at once on a place. It doesn't pay for itself. You know, cruise passengers go because they want, you know, a carefree vacation, and they're willing to pay for it. And you know, as Aaron said, these passengers are willing to pay a little bit extra to be responsible. We've talked down at the Port of San Francisco. We've talked to passengers, you know, coming off the ships and going on, just in an effort to educate. And you know, we're not really against passengers. We're for them. And what we found is passengers don't know. You know, these companies are selling themselves as being environmentally responsible. And when these passengers find out, they're very upset. And you know, what we like to do is give them a sheet of questions to go back and ask the captain, you know, what exactly does happen to this. And the more passengers that are becoming aware, the more this issue is getting pushed to the front. Just because they, you know, nobody wants to feel bad about taking a vacation. You want to spend your money and go somewhere, see a beautiful place, and feel good about it. So you know, really, we just want the passengers to feel better about it. And really, the only way they're going to do it is for the cruise lines to change their behavior.
And I'd return to what Chris was saying about the elected officials and the need to step up. When the people in the citizens of Monterey had cruise ships just returned to Monterey, this is Monterey, California, and Monterey sits on the coast of a national marine sanctuary. They don't even have a dock. They don't have a cruise terminal such as the, you have here. So cruise ships returned there last year, and there was 3 visits by cruise ships. Citizens heard about this environmental concern, et cetera, and really the Ocean Conservancy down there led the fight and bringing it up, the citizens too. And it was a slow process. They had a lot of educating ahead of them and a lot of educating of their elected officials. But what it culminated in was from going from point A and getting these written agreements with these memorandums of understanding with the cruise lines that were coming to visit them, and the city council was very reluctant to do that, and it entailed a lot of educating of the elected officials. But then in the end, this is the same city council that stepped up and banned Crystal Cruises after they broke the agreement and the understanding. So I would hope, I would, you know, hold on to that hope that the elected officials in Seattle can also kind of be the leaders and really step up. Because, I mean, people live in Seattle. Seattle's gorgeous. It's an amazing place. And people live here. I would move here for, you know, the nature and the, you're right on the water and the gorgeous environment. And just really kind of respecting that and working to protect it.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to note that the three ships that are going to be down in the Elliott Bay today all are equipped with some of the most technologically advanced sewage treatment systems within the industry. And it's a wonderful thing, technology. And it can work. It can be made to work. Unfortunately, those three ships out there and the technology that is aboard them represents a very small fraction of the industry. Most ships don't have the technology. And, you know, for the price of a cup of coffee by each passenger on a ship, the industry could upgrade itself. There isn't any reason why they can't, and there certainly isn't any reason why they shouldn't. The problem is that they've been allowed to not by the federal agencies. The Department of Justice, who investigated Norwegian recently, last year, where Norwegian, halfway through the investigation, admitted to felony violations, subsequently worked out an agreement with the Department of Justice, and what they call that is non-prosecution agreement. Okay, it says that as long as you tell us about what you did before we find out, you're okay. We're not going to bust you. Okay, so, you know, let's take an example. I just robbed a bank. I didn't, but I just robbed a bank, and as long as I tell you about it, I'm okay. I'm not going to get in trouble. And that's a problem, because it's a golden handshake for the industry to not clean up their act, okay, by our federal agencies. The federal agencies in this have failed to protect our state waters, okay? Non-prosecution is not the answer. Self-regulation is not the answer. We have to, right here in Seattle, grow this movement of opposition to environmental degradation, and people need to begin to work, because if this industry is going to come here, and it is, 100 ships this year, you know, all of them carrying hundreds of thousands, if not millions of gallons of waste that they don't have any place to put it other than dumping it out in the sea, we have to do something about that. That's a horrible, horrible thing to bring here and to dump on future generations.
Chris, to add to your analogy there, if you did rob that bank, just carrying this a little further, and you did admit to it, you know, under the same agreements that the cruise lines have, you wouldn't even have to give the money back. You would just have to say, oh, I did it. And they would say, okay, well, thanks for telling us.
Right, because the environmental destruction's been done, and there's no way to clean that up. Right. And like I say, it's a golden handshake for the industry by our federal agencies that should be prosecuting them, and they're not. And so it's up to us. We've been, you know, our taxes have been taken. They've been used to subsidize the industry. Our federal agencies have failed to hold these people accountable with long, long criminal records, long histories of lying to the Coast Guard, lying to the Department of Justice, and lying to their own passengers. Mm-hmm. And we need to do something about that right away.
And one thing that I wanted to add to is, you know, you mentioned technology, and technology is great, and you can, you know, upgrade your systems and really treat the water. I've heard some cruise line officials say, you know, this water, once the time we by the time we release it, it's good enough to drink. And, you know, I've never seen one that'll actually drink the water, but they like to say this. And the problem is, it doesn't matter how much you treat the water with your systems if you're not using your systems. We can have all the technology in the world, spend all this money on the latest systems, and if you're not using it, it's not going to work. The problem is, these cruise lines have been shown to bypass systems, to actually build in pipes that will bypass their treatment systems. So you know, when you're dealing with felons, when you're dealing with people that you can't trust to follow the law, you can't just you can't just let them off the hook because they're willing to spend a little extra money on the right technology. What we really need is state laws, federal laws, you know, but the feds don't seem to be stepping up to the plate. So state laws. But we also need some kind of third-party observer on board that can actually be there, kind of like you have in a meatpacking plant. There's always going to be somebody from OSHA around, somebody from the FDA around to make sure things are going like they should go. We need a third-party observer that these cruise lines pay for but aren't answering to the cruise lines, that are answering to us, that can actually make sure that this water that they are letting out is treated enough where it's not going to hurt anything, or that they're not dumping.
Randy's exactly right, and that's what we need. And returning back to, you know, just our poll of cruise passengers, 90% of cruise passengers support stricter rules. It's really just the industry standing up there being complacent and not wanting to step up to the plate, which is really our point in doing. Returning back to today, we're going to be, you know, down at Terminal 30. We're going to be right out in front, and our goal is to draw not only the public's attention, but also to help educate the passengers, because it's not the passengers' fault that the industry is doing this. It's not, you know, you get on a city bus or you go through city services, it's not your fault if it's the pollution that it's spewing, but you can have that pressure to change it. And that's what we really want to encourage the passengers to do, to take the time to investigate their cruise line before they get on there, to report any findings. And even once they're on board, to tell the captain, you know what? I don't want you dumping sewage out the back there. You know, I pay good money to go on this ship, and I don't want to, you know, be a party to this collapse. So we'll be down in front of Terminal 30 today at noon, and we'll be holding a small press conference and handing out materials to passengers.
All right, we only have a couple minutes left, so I wanted to leave that so you guys could give your contact info. Christopher Kane with the Port Observer, how can people find out more about the Port Observer?
Well, you can send an email to portobserver@yahoo.com.
Very good. And Aaron Simmons, Oceana.
For Oceana, they can hop on our Oceana website, which is www.oceana.org. Or just to find out more just about cruise pollution, www.stopcruisepollution.org. And they can also come down today at noon to Terminal 30. It'd be wonderful to see them and have the support.
Very good. And Randy Zerker with the Blue Water Network.
Right. You can find us at www.bluewaternetwork.org. Feel free to send me an email at rzurcher@bluewaternetwork.org. Or feel free to call me, 415-544-0790, extension 14.
All right. And Randy and Aaron, would either of your websites also have the info about the legislation you're proposing in California?
Absolutely, yeah. Bluewaternetwork.org, you can go there and just kind of follow the links to our cruise ship campaign, and that'll tell you. And if it's up yet, and it should be in the next day or two, you can actually take action and send a postcard to Governor Davis and a postcard to Mickey Arison, the CEO of Carnival Corporation, telling them to clean up their act.
And on our website, you can take action to pressure federally and get national standards up and going. And you can also find out more about what occurred down in Monterey and how local citizens stepped up.
Very good. Well, I want to thank all three of you for coming in this morning.
Thanks
for having us.
Just been talking with Christopher Kane with the Port Observer, Aaron Simmons with Oceana, and Randy Zerker with the Blue Water Network.